Get up with Ned and Josh on Hit 104.7. I got to put my
hands up in the air. Ned, we are playing Canberra's newest game show, Gross Lift Bingo.
It's the most disgusting game you'll find in Canberra or potentially the world.
Yep. So what happened was this morning on the way to work, I found a Band-Aid wrapped around like a Q-tip that you actually put in your ear to clean your ears in the lift of my apartment building. And this is like probably the seventh gross thing I've seen in my lift in the last 3 weeks.
Well, you said this is absolutely the straw that broke the camel's
back. Did for me, 100%. Absolutely.
Yeah. We are trying this morning to do the grossest game that we've ever thought of. And I say we because I, for whatever reason, decided to put my name to it as well. It's your idea.
Gross Lift Bingo.
It's Gross Lift Bingo.
So you've got a card. I've got a card.
I do have a card.
And we're going to have a little bit of a look now at some calls from people, 131060. If you've seen something gross in the lift of your apartment building, give us a call right now, 131060. We've got some common items we've kind of thought might be in lifts.
Some everyday things that found in a lift are absolutely disgusting, but potentially found in a bin. You go, that's the place that should be.
Do I get earbud, like cotton bud,
Q-tip?
Because I've already seen it?
No.
Okay.
Because it's got to be someone's calling up
calling.
And saying,
okay.
I found a dirty... Well, here's the thing. Dirty Q-tip or normal Q-tip?
Both are pretty gross.
Both are horrible.
They both don't need to be in a lift. 131060 is the number to call. Let's get straight into it. We've got Maddie on the line from Fishwick. Maddie, what have you seen gross in a lift?
This one will weird me out forever. Heading to work one day, and in the back corner, it was a mouth guard.
Oh,
you know, like a
Jesus.
Mouth guard?
That's rank.
Why are you throwing that away? Aren't they good for a while? Yeah, that's disgusting.
Okay, all right.
Is it on the bingo?
I don't have a mouth guard.
I do!
Oh my, you're kidding!
Yes, yes.
Is it like a retainer though?
Yeah, it says retainer.
We'll count that. That's fine.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
God, I'm counting that.
That is gross, Maddie. That is absolutely horrible. Thank you very much for the call. That is already a tick in Gross Lift Bingo.
That's the first time I've ever been excited about hearing someone's used retainer.
Yeah, well.
Hopefully the last time as well.
Disgusting. We have Ruby on the line from Belconnen. Ruby, what is the grossest thing you found in your lift?
Oh, I found a dirty Band-Aid in there.
I've got Band-Aid.
I also have Band-Aid.
Okay, we both have Band-Aid. Yep, we both have Band-Aid. All right, then. Well, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you, Ruby.
Did it have any blood on it or anything, or was it just kind of...
Yeah, like it was...
Oh, no! No!
Why would you?
Yeah, that is disgusting. Okay.
I don't like this game anymore.
I almost don't want to go to the next call. We've got Maddie on the line from Gungala. Now, Maddie, have you found something gross in a lift?
Yeah, someone's underwear.
Oh, no.
That's... Oh, how, no. Well, I mean, there's so many stories that come before that.
I have undies, but it's not in a row.
I have item of clothing. That counts, doesn't it? That's an
is
item
in,
of clothing.
Is that in the row with everything
else?
Yeah,
it is.
You've won Gross Lift Bingo! And I'm not happy about it at all.
That's disgusting.
Maddie, that is horrible to find some undies in the lift. That is no good.
This is by far the worst game we've ever played.
Very sorry you had to go through that, Maddie.
That's all right,
then. Look, it could be used for something useful this morning. Ned picking up the victory in the first and last ever game
of
Gross Lift Bingo.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
But right now, something that caused absolute discussion aplenty on the internet yesterday was whether or not Kylie Jenner deserved to grace the cover of Forbes magazine as one of the world's youngest potential self-made billionaires.
People are saying she's not really self-made because she has had her family name behind her.
Yep.
Also, the lip cosmetic stuff that she does was also a brand before she jumped on board.
Well,
she obviously pioneered it, but at the same time, it was already a brand and they came to her and were like, hey, do you want to do something?
Well, that's only a little bit true because the cosmetics company came to her and suggested, hey, we've got this infrastructure to make makeup. Do you want to jump on board with that?
Yeah.
She's gone, well, let's start Kylie Cosmetics, which is apparently worth upwards of $900 million now.
Yeah.
So that is very impressive. And not trying to say that isn't impressive, but... She also was pretty famous, had the influence, had the family behind her before the cosmetics company came and suggested they go into business together.
I would say that before she had any money, when she was just a kid, she was already on Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
Yes,
so
indeed.
That probably helped a little bit.
But the one thing that the internet is currently doing, and this is what the internet seems to do best in 2018, they're taking someone down, and that person is Kylie Jenner. And now I'm sitting here going, you know what?
Mm.
this is no longer okay. Like, I am sitting here going, look, everyone's raising good points.
Yeah.
But there is one thing that occurred to me this morning while I was looking at the internet that I think needs to occur to everybody else who's having a crack at Kylie Jenner as well, all right?
Mm.
So I'm looking at this morning, like one of the huddled masses on the internet.
Yep.
And I'm going, because it's like, she doesn't have $1 billion. This was a story. She doesn't have $1 billion. She's only got $300 million.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
it's because her company apparently is worth $900 million.
Yeah, she's not even worth, that's what her company's worth. Yeah. She's not worth it. And yeah. I'm sitting there going, yeah, damn straight. I'm glad someone's finally worked this out.
Yeah, good.
And I thought to myself, hang on, I only have $7 in my bank account, and this young lady in her early 20s, still conservatively, has $300 million.
She's fine.
So even if she's not a billionaire, which the internet is currently rejoicing in announcing, she's still got $300 million. And more conservatively, because people are saying that number's even inflated, but everyone is generally consensus-wise across the fact that she probably has at minimum, $100 million.
Here's the thing.
And she's like, what, she's 22?
Yeah. If someone said to me, I'm going to give you $900 million, and then I'd be like, oh my God, that's the most insane thing I've ever heard. And then they went to me, actually, it's only going to give me $300 million. I'd still be happy at least.
Well, that's it. That's what I'm saying, because that's what the internet's currently doing. Oh God, can you believe it? She's not a billionaire. She's in the damn poorhouse.
She's living off
she's
pennies.
She's still got, at minimum, $100 million, which is more money than I'm ever going to be even near in my lifetime. Hats off to Kylie Jenner. No matter how she got it, she has at least $100 million. Everyone put the pitchforks away. Yeah.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
To Ned, it is R&B Friday the 13th. And we're talking superstitions this morning. A lot of people get into superstitions on Friday the 13th. They get into,
right.
You know, you see a black cat or you accidentally break a mirror or you walk under a ladder. All these things freak people out more on Friday the 13th. And I want to say, you know what? I'm going to try and make people feel a little less bad about being superstitious today by telling you about the things I'm superstitious with year-round.
Yeah, you have year-round superstitions.
I've got these little quirks, and lately I have noticed that a big new one that I do is I can't leave the house unless I've checked that the fridge is properly closed. For some reason, I don't know what I think's going to happen. Just my electricity bill is going to be insane. I'm going to actually end up refrigerating my entire apartment. I don't know what I think is going to happen, apart from probably burn the fridge motor out, but I have to check every time before I leave.
I was going to say, I don't really get superstitious about anything, but you remember like probably 4 months ago when you and producer Maddie as a joke walked under a ladder and I like straight up refused to do it?
Yeah.
That's got to be something, surely.
Well, it wasn't Friday the 13th. So
it wasn't Friday the 13th, but that's just a year-round thing. Like, you just shouldn't walk under ladders. And you and Maddie were doing, oh, let's do this as a joke. And I was like, I straight up refuse to do this.
Yeah, well, you did. You got superstitious. Let's see, 131060, if anybody else out there is a little bit superstitious about things year-round, to hopefully make anybody feeling superstitious a little bit better today. We got Georgia on the line from Belconnen. How are you, Georgia?
Very well, thanks. How are you guys?
Yeah, not
very
too bad.
Well, thanks,
thank
Georgia.
You. What's your year-round superstition?
Whenever I catch a flight, I make sure that I take my earphones out or start reading my book and listen to the safety instruction with the ladies, because I just feel like then we won't crash because I listened and it's good karma.
Wait, sorry. This has freaked me clean out. Georgia, I do this exact same thing.
Really?
Yeah, no, I'm actually dead serious. If I have headphones in, I will take them out and I will look at a flight attendant because I feel like, you know, if they... Because nobody else does, and I feel like, you know what? One of us needs to pay attention, and I feel like it's... Oh, that
you're going to save the plane.
Sorry, I can't even... That's freaked me out. I do that exact same thing, Georgia.
Oh, good. Okay, so I'm not alone here.
Imagine how safe...
And there'll be two people.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, if we're on the same plane, imagine how safe that plane would be. Just all the good karma. Oh, wow. That has freaked me out this morning. I'm glad there's somebody else that does that exact thing.
Yeah, I never do that.
But yeah, I know. I've been on planes with you. Yeah. I'm like, pay attention.
Yeah, I'm kind of am.
They're not doing this performance of the safety instruction just for their own amusement. You're supposed to be watching.
I pay attention if I'm in the safety aisle. That's the only time I pay attention.
Oh, good.
The big ones.
At least you have
some, make you.
Some standards. Yeah, they look at you in the eye.
And they say, hey, take your headphones out.
Yeah,
I go, what?
You are the worst. The worst, Ned. Beck is on the line from Latham. Beck, what's your superstition that you get into year-round?
I don't like being jinxed when you say the same thing as another person.
Mm. So you
abide by jinx.
The typical rules of jinx are you're not allowed to speak again until someone says your name. So, Beck...
The one I do is... to pinky swear, used to do the pinky swear action with the other person.
Yeah,
yeah.
So, I can't speak until they do that with me.
What's the longest you've ever, if this is a real superstition that you have, what's the longest you've ever gone without speaking?
It was nearly 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
Because my mother wouldn't cooperate.
Beck, I'm going to ask you a question. It's might going to sound weird. Do you have any younger siblings?
I've only got one older sibling.
Right. I grew up with two younger sisters, and you try and jinx them, and the amount of rules that come out that you didn't have any idea about and they didn't have any idea about, like under a house, it's a Saturday, it's a weekday. Literally, I just ate an apple. Yeah. Any rule they can think of to get out of jinx, absolutely accepts them.
So what we're saying, Beck, is good on you for sticking to the time-honored tradition of jinx. It is very, very honourable. Well done.
Thank you.
No, thank you, Beck. Someone's holding the standards. Well, there you go. You're a bit nervous about superstitions. Don't feel as weird now.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Ned, but right now, speaking of England, the English World Cup soccer team obviously had a little bit of trouble yesterday getting over the finish line. The cup is not coming home.
Unfortunately not.
They are not going to be in the World Cup final. But good news for Croatia. They are going through. Look, a bit of insult to injury, I would imagine, is the story I've seen today. And that story is that apparently fines are being handed down to the English soccer team for displaying sponsor logos while they were playing yesterday.
Right, because FIFA makes so much money, and they do that by controlling exactly what goes onto the players' shirts, shorts, shoes,
all
everything like that. They get final say on if you're allowed to be sponsored by a specific brand.
Ned, as you said, FIFA make a lot of money, and they are the only ones to make money. Mm-hmm. No one else shall have an opportunity. And I, in that very, very, very interesting point, have had an idea.
Mm.
So the English soccer team, apparently they're wearing some socks with some logos on them that they weren't supposed to be wearing. Some of the players, not all of them. And they've been handed down a fine, Australian $95,000.
Wow.
So I don't know what that works out to in pounds or euros or however they're doing it, but yeah, $95,000 Australian.
Yeah.
That, in terms of sponsorship at the World Cup, is peanuts. Peanuts compared to how much money you could charge a sponsor to be on your official team kit while you're out on the pitch.
I mean, that's true.
That is,
on your socks.
If you wanted to approach a major company and said, you know what, guys, we're gonna put your logo on our jerseys. Sure, we're going to cop a $95,000 fine, but we're going to get $4 million from you for doing it. That is a cost of doing business that you just fold into your team's plan.
Help even put it into the contract. So you pay any fines and then you can pay us, take however much it is off the end of the contract.
Yep.
But you essentially cover the fines, any damages, any legal damages, that's on you. And you just give us an absolute mozza full of money.
Mate, that is, in terms of these sponsorship deals teams do, $95,000, not even a drop in the bucket. If I knew that's how low the fees were and I was a team captain, I'd be out there trying to stick a sticker on the ball. Because you know what? Yeah. I'll whack this Goodyear logo on the ball. If everyone's all right with that, fine.
If you're the goalie, you pick up the ball and just every time you're picking it up, new stickers. Yeah, By the end, it's just a ball of stickers.
$95,000. I should be a business.
That's nothing.
I should be a tycoon, honestly. I should be an absolute billionaire.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Yep. Right now, over in the UK, President Donald Trump is there. He had a dinner with Prime Minister Theresa May last night. Mm. Lots of stuff going on. He's already had some comments on Brexit, which is the person we're about to catch up with, our friend of the show, Calm. She is our expat expert. Now, let me be clear. I'm not a political expert. She's an expert on being an expat because she's lived over in the UK a bunch of times. She made it nice and official the last time because she's got the availability to have an Italian passport. So she's got the Italian passport. Now she's in the UK. But Donald Trump talking about Brexit, I would imagine it's making her pretty nervous because that Italian passport's only good as long as the Brexit thing doesn't fully kick in.
Exactly. Well, you can still go there, but it's very much you can't live there.
I don't know what's going to go on. She is the expat expert. She's the expert about living overseas. But Donald Trump is there at the moment. There's reports of protests. There's reports of all sorts sorts of things going on. The baby blimp that looks like a giant baby version of Donald Trump will be flying over London at some point. Hence, we've started Blimp Watch. But we're not over there.
We can't tell you what's going on. We don't have... Well, I mean, we do have eyes on the ground. They're just not our own eyes.
Yeah, and the person who is there, of course, is our expat expert, Calm. She joins us right now via the magic of the internet. How's it going this morning, Calm? Good morning.
Oh, you know what? I'm so disappointed because we've been friends for so long and the first time you asked me to come on your show is about Donald Trump.
Yeah. Look, everything you've said is true.
I know you're not a big fan of him, so yes, this is... I'm sorry this is the first time, but we are giving you the official title of the expat expert, and that is what you are now. You were there earlier today, your time, and the helicopters and everything were flying over. Where were you?
So we had sports day at work, so we were at Regent's Park from about 11 a.m., and I think the American embassy was just kind of behind Regent's Park. So he shut down a little bit of the park. There was more policemen around than normal, but the only thing that was probably a little bit chaotic was that, yeah, at any given time, 10, 15 army-like choppers, super loud, flying super low, I guess to distract us to think which one could he possibly be.
Right, okay. Doing the old helicopter shell game. Calm, here's the thing I wanted to ask you, because we're seeing stories on the news of lots and lots of protests. Have you seen any protests being over there?
That's the thing. Unless I've had too many cordials in the sun today and have completely missed something. No, guys, it's pretty chill here. Like, it's 11 o'clock at night. I'm sitting on my bed eating a Subway. Like, there's nothing to see here. London is fine. Yeah. It's all okay.
That's good news. Yeah. I mean, there's a general state of calm. Now, Calm, this is the thing I need to know right now. You have seen, because I've sent you the picture on Facebook, a picture of the baby blimp that is apparently going to be flown over London at some point while he's there. You are now officially on Blimp Watch for us. Have you seen the baby blimp?
Going to be a difficult one yet again because it's been really hot here, guys. So most British men at the moment are walking around looking exactly like that. Like, everyone's just a little bit too sunburned, a little bit too orange. But I will definitely keep a lookout.
If you see a guy wearing a nappy, you'd be like, mate, what are you? Is this part of the blimp thing?
Are you the blimp? Have they oversold it and it's just you?
The new radio competition.
Are
you the blimp?
Calm, do you have any plans to change any of your plans while he's in town, or are you just going to go about your normal everyday life?
Like I said, I am obviously an Australian living in London with an Italian passport, so the guy can really just bugger off.
You are not.
I've got nothing to do with him. Not... He's obviously here for a lot of Brexit issues, but definitely get the hell out of here as soon as possible. Okay. I'll be staying indoors finishing my Subway, and if you want to know, it's chicken teriyaki.
I was going to ask if they have chicken teriyaki over there. I'm glad that is a worldwide thing. Calm, the expat, thank you so much for having a chat to us this morning. And keep at the blimp watch, all right? Let us know if you see anything.
I will. I'm on it, boys.
Brilliant. Thanks, Calm.
Enjoy the chicken teriyaki. Bye.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
Josh, I am potentially about to tell the funniest story involving a crime at least this year. So brace yourselves.
So is this one of those criminals do the darndest things thing?
Yeah, it's exactly that.
Looking forward to that.
Guy has decided he's going to rob a place. He's a burglar.
Bad decision, guys. Don't robbing places.
Don't break the law.
Yeah.
Pretty stock standard. There's a reason there's laws. Do not break them. He's going to break into this place. He's done it. He's broken in. And he's just gathering stuff up. Mm-hmm. He's going, this so far is going great.
I'm burgling to maximum efficiency.
Exactly. I am doing exactly what I intended, which is burgle, which is wrong. He started to look around and's gone, I'm not really sure where I am. I'm kind of somewhat lost in this store that I've broken into.
Mm.
So he's gone, this is strange. He's probably seen somewhere that he is, in fact, in one of the very, very popular at the moment, escape rooms.
Also, those rooms that literally have been designed to, you have to, with a bunch of friends, try and escape from, and it's incredibly difficult.
You have to find keys, you have to find hints, you have to find things. He's accidentally broken into an escape room.
That's the best.
lost himself in there.
Oh, no.
And has tried to get out for quite some time and has gone, oh, no, I'm actually stuck here, and has called the police and said, oh, hey, I was going to rob this place. Now I'm stuck here. Can you please come and help me out? The police have turned up and have gone, this guy's in here somewhere. We don't know how to get him out, and have called the owners of the escape room place and have gone, there's a guy locked in here. He was trying to rob your store. He's locked in your escape room and he can't get out. Can you please come and let him out? They've come and let him out. They've taken him away. He's been charged with second-degree burglary.
Yeah.
How funny has that got it? That's the funniest story I think I've read this
that
year.
That is the least thought out plan that I think I've ever heard of when it comes to a crime.
The best part of the whole thing is the stuff he's taking and like stealing to get out of there, all props. Like
part of the escape room.
He was going to steal a TV, which was a prop. It didn't work. It wasn't connected. There was no wiring in it. He was going to steal a phone that was a complete prop. He was going to steal a chair that was, that's a chair, but it's still a prop chair. Nothing he was going to take was real.
I love this so much because it's the ultimate cautionary tale. Like, just look, I'm not offering this as a service, but if I was to be a crime consultant,
yeah, of course,
and this guy had called me, call the fire department. Pretend you were a patron of the escape room and you got stuck.
Yeah.
Like, don't call the police and go, hey, look, I am absolutely committing a crime right now, but I need some help. There's your first tip. I don't know why I'm trying to give tips to a criminal. But
it's already too late for this guy.
Your first tip.
Hopefully this is the first and last time this ever happens.
Just second tip, Google where you're robbing. I'm going to stop giving criminals tips. I think that's a bad idea.
Hit 104.7's Ned and Josh. Like a fine wine, this show will get better with time. Also like a fine wine, they'll need about 30 years.
John Little, your workers' compensation lawyer. MEJ.com.au.
It's Ned and Josh's job game.
That's right. We are about to go on holidays for a week, which means this is the last chance for me to regain the job game championship before I give you basically a free week of being the champion.
Exactly.
You are the champion, Ned. Congratulations. By virtue of you having the last correct guess, the way this game works, somebody gets on the phone, we ask them a very vague question each,
yep,
and then I have to, as the challenger, guess what they do for a living.
If you've heard this game before, you'll know that the person who is currently the champion usually asks questions that are of no use to anyone.
Yeah, no, you normally try and sabotage any hope I have of getting someone's job.
Well, because there's no point in me trying to get you to win, so I usually ask pointless questions. I've been champion for way too long, and
it's
getting boring now. So what I'm going to do today is I'm going to ask questions that are specifically designed to help you. I want you to win at this point.
I'm sick
of being the champion.
Damn sporting of you.
I would say it's more condescending than anything.
I'm taking whatever I can get at this point, mate. I'm just 3 months of being out in the wilderness here. We've got Nikki on the line from Civic. How are you this morning, Nikki?
I'm good, thank you.
Oh, fantastic.
Great.
And before we go any further,
give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire.
You've won Free Fuel Friday, Nikki. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you.
No problems. Hang there after we finish this and we can get some details and you can get some free fuel. Congratulations. Now, here's the thing. I've got to let Ned have the first question.
I'm going first.
And he has claimed that he is going to help me this morning. So we'll have to wait and see if that's going to ring true.
Okay, let's see.
Nikki, do you work around, not with, but around cars?
No.
Okay.
No.
Sorry,
that hasn't helped me at all. What is wrong with you, Nick?
Well, she could have been.
That has not helped at all. You said you were going to help?
Oh, what if she was a mechanic?
Nikki.
She's obviously not.
But also, you'd be going, I know this doesn't make sense, it doesn't matter, but that's way too specific. You'd be going, breaking your own rules.
Well, if you were thinking mechanic, get rid of it. Don't worry about it.
Nikki, do you work Monday to Friday?
Yes, I do.
Okay,
Nikki.
Then. Nikki, because I've had no success with this job and I am literally not giving up on it, though, are you an accountant?
No, I'm not.
Damn it! What do you do, Nikki?
I have two post offices.
Oh, cool!
So you run a post office?
Yes, I do.
That's very cool.
A lot of people don't know that, but yeah, you can own the post office, can't you?
Yeah, yeah.
You sure can.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Well done, Nikki. Well done, Nikki.
Good on you. That's fantastic. You know what? We've got one more chance.
Okay.
One more chance. Jimmy from Palmerston, how's it going, mate?
Hey, not too bad, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, not too
Great,
bad.
Thank you.
Now, look, let's get a question from Ned and a question from me and before it's all over and I am the loser for a full week while we're not here.
Okay, Jimmy.
Yo.
I feel like because
I love your attitude.
Coolest cat. Yeah. I love it, Jimmy.
You're the coolest man on earth.
Because I am the decider of whether or not a question is too vague or too specific, I feel like I, in the end, get to rule over everything that I even say. So
yeah, but, and yeah. The important thing is, if I get this based on you being too specific, you can't cry a foul later
and
take the win away from
me. Okay, that's fine. I'm happy because I honestly think if I lead you to an answer and you still get it wrong, that's even better for me.
Okay, fine.
Jimmy, do you work in a trade?
I certainly do.
Oh, no. Oopsie daisy.
Jimmy, do you work around...
I'm so nervous.
Not around, with wiring a lot for your job?
I wouldn't say a lot, but yeah.
Oh, God.
Damn it. I was too arrogant.
I wouldn't say a lot has thrown me. Like, because I...
I flew too close to the sun, and now my plastic wings have melted.
Oh, no. Jeez. I've been in trouble before by not just going with the most obvious thing, not following Arkham's razor, so...
Come on, Icarus, you can get it.
Jimmy, are you an electrician?
Oh, I certainly am.
No!
Yes!
Why?
I am the champion!
I immediately regret it.
Yes! And what the hell are you doing saying only sometimes you work with wires, Jimmy?
Because I'm a smoke alarm inspector.
God, that is great. What a great way to end this Friday.
I'm going to be super self-indulgent. Jimmy, someone's coming over to check my smoke alarms next week, but I'm not here. Do I need to be there when they check them?
Nah, as long as I've got the key to get in, mate.
Brilliant, cool. That was the most self-indulgent thing I probably ever will do on the radio.
Leave out some cookies and milk and Jimmy will be very happy. Oh, mate, that is great! Yes!
I immediately, the second you said yes, I immediately regretted it.
Job game champion. Me.
Damn it, no!
Oh, my friend. Shall we call it?
Yeah, let's call it.
That is the end of this morning's show. Oh. We are off for a week, Canberra. Enjoy. Beth's going to be taking care of R&B Friday for you. Up next, you've got stuff from Michael Jackson, also Jordan Sparks, a bit of R. Kelly in there as well. We'll speak to you not this coming Monday, but next Monday from 6 a.m. You have a safe week, Canberra. We want to meet all of you back here after our holiday. Have a fantastic Friday the 13th. Have a fantastic weekend. We'll speak to you in 2 Mondays' time. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Hit 104.7. Ned and Josh.